All right, what time is it now? It is 9:30. Okay, good, good. Welcome to our pre-show for the for Tuesday, the 28th of February, 2017. Now, today's show is a best of. The reason being, I blew it. I'm concluding my audition class this week, not last week. So I'm sorry about that. I got the date wrong. However, this is the last, and you can rest assured if it bothers you. And, of course, we have to make sure we make that announcement. We also made it in the show log. You'll also notice, if you watch the video cast, and I have no idea how many people actually watch our video cast, but I think it's just an extra little perk, you know, with the subscription. You'll note that there is no pre-show, this pre-show or any other pre-show, on the videocast. There was none produced. And the pre-show, or I should say today's show, is from March of 2016. I believe it's March 1st. And the reason why we picked it out is because it is a awesome, awesome August Selsen show. The second part is an August Selsen show. It was produced first. By that, I mean, it was produced before the other part of the show, which leads the show. So what I think happened is this. I just kicked into an August Selsen as part of the pre-show, and it felt so good and sounded so good, I just kept on going, and we made that a part of the show. So that's why I think there was no pre-show from the show we're playing today, March 1st, 2016. Then we produced another half of the show, and we moved that to the front and August to the back. You'll hear it. Just if you're looking for the August Selsen, fast forward to the second half of the hour is essentially what I'm saying. So with no pre-show having been produced, we thought we would produce one for you here. And there's a few things that I want to update you guys on. Obviously, there's no video cast for the pre-show. As I said, that was taken up by the August Selsen from last year. Number one, I'm adopting my doggy Woggy on Wednesday. That's Marley. You guys, I think those of you who are with me on the BSP chat on Friday night, you saw a picture of Marley. And I got some more pictures of him, which I will show you. Unfortunately, not today. He's a beautiful guy. He's only 30 pounds, so he's a small dog. I thought maybe he was a little bit bigger. He's actually a smallish, a Boston Terrier mix, I would say. And I love him. And, you know, and I'm nervous and depressed about it. I emailed a friend of mine today. I said, God, why am I nervous and depressed over this? They said, because you're taking responsibility for somebody, man. You know? But they said, you know, it doesn't have to be bad, man. It's good, you know? But you're taking responsibility for somebody. I said, yeah. Because dogs react to the training they've had, and their instinct as a pack animal, they're looking for their alpha. They're looking for the leader of the pack. And of course, that's who we are. So they trust us implicitly when we establish ourselves as that alpha. Not necessarily, you know, they don't trust every human. They trust the alpha. So fortunately for me, Marley has been in training. And he knows all the basic things, like where to take a shit, you know, not in the middle of the kitchen floor. That would be nice. And, you know, things like that, you know, where he's supposed to go to sleep. They love their little crate. We have a two-story house. I worry about him because of his previous injuries. Will he slip and fall down the stairs? It's probably a stupid thing to worry about, but I'll ask about that. And let's see what else. Oh, integrating him with Thunder, our cat. And Thunder's a sweetheart, and as I've said, Thunder grew up with dogs. I'm suspecting that it'll be okay, you know, but I don't know. But I think things are going to be cool. Like I said, Thunder hung out with dogs as a very young cat, and I am told that, you know, Marley is just a sweet, sweet boy. I mean, he's very gentle, he's playful, he's got a lot of energy. And so they're going to try and exercise him before I pick him up. But I said, hey, man, I'll take him for a big-ass, you know, a big, long walk when I get him here. So I've had to put off a lot of things. And we're sort of like, you know, getting that together on top of finishing up class. And we've got a big meeting tomorrow, a phone meeting on the website, which I think you'll enjoy because our website is in beta now. We've got a beta version of it. We're going to test it. And we've also got some BSPs that I talked to on Friday night who will help us with that testing. Pauly B's one of them. Rory McLeod's another one. We got a bunch of guys, and I'm going to have to somehow get in touch with you guys. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but we'll try as we give this sucker a test, you know, navigate it and see what we can come up with. Is that Oprah Winfrey in a yoga tight? Wow. Anyway, that's fine. She's a lovely lady. I think that's why I'm actually having a drink right now, because I'm, you know, sort of wigged out about my boy, you know. But I think it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Just haven't had a dog in a long time, man. I haven't had a dog in a fuck of a long time, dude. I haven't had a dog in over 20 years. Over 20 years. Say what you will about cats. One thing about a cat, son of a bitch is easy. You know, just drop him on the floor. There he is. I'm a cat. And you want to play with him? No, I'll play with you guys later. So cats are totally cool. Dogs are cool too, you know. I got a friend, told you guys, my buddy DJ. They had two cats and a dog at one point in their lives, he and his wife Pam, and they got along famously. The dog used to stick his snout right in the cat's stomach, and they'd roll around for hours doing that kind of stupid stuff. But one of these cats that Don had was, like, I think, developmentally disabled or something. It was, seriously, the thing would just stand there and, like, fall off his shit, you know. He'd stand there looking at you and, hey, how you doing? And just and fall off the thing. His name was Mac, and I will say this for Mac. He lived a long-ass time. He just died not too long ago, like 2 years ago. This dude was almost 20. So I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be cool. What else is going on, man? So the class I've been taking, an audition class, and it's kind of morphing into an acting class, which I'm going to take as well, which I will not take, you know, time off from the show. Robert DeVonzo is the teacher. He's a tremendous teacher. If you make your way to LA and you are looking to be an actor, and you want to learn how to audition, it's different from anything else. It's a whole thing unto itself. Then this is the guy, because he really knows his shit. He's got great stuff, and I had a good time out in Burbank. People say, well, Phil, aren't you a little old for that? And haven't you, you've already got a resume there on IMDb. I don't give a shit what I got. You know, my feeling is this. I want to be the very best that I can be at whatever I do. And so, to that end, that's why I take these classes and do this training. I want to be the best, as good as I can be. I'm 64 years old. It doesn't make any difference to me. I want to be the best. So, you know, I faked it for a while because of my notoriety in radio, and I used to get jobs on sitcoms and things like that, and that's great. And you can do that, you know, your name sort of carries you along, but you're always the same shit actor, you know? And I don't want to do that. I want to be better than that, so. And I don't give a flying fuck if no one's heard of me or they have heard of me. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just, it's something that I want to do for my own, I guess, you know, my own sense of, like, pride and what's good. You know, what do you want to do, what is good, or do you want to do dog shit? So it's been really fun. And as I said, I've been in class with people that are like half my age, if not like a third of my age. But I roll with it. Hey, you know, I keep my mouth shut and I stay off to the side and I do my shit. And I was thinking the other day about what it is that I do. And it's not like anything else, and it's never been like anything else. Nothing I've ever done has ever been like anything else. And it really is divorced from, it's not even divorced from, it's just not a part of mainstream expression. And I suddenly it hit me like a, I don't know, like any inspiration, not even an inspiration, any realization, any revelation hits you. It always feels good when it does, because a revelation, an inspiration is something that moves you forward and you recognize it immediately and you go, oh, fuck, that's good, you know. And this was good, what happened to me. I realized that I was on my own track. And I was succeeding. I was making a living. I was entertaining people. I was gaining sort of fans and influence. And the reason I mention that is because that gives you, that gives you a piece of the world. You know, you begin to influence other people, and suddenly expression itself is expanded a little bit. And I thought, well, now that's pretty good. And it may not be a part of whatever is considered to be a mainstream expression, but you're doing this, and you can keep doing this and keep making a living at it. And it has nothing to do with anything else, and you don't need any other. In other words, I don't need a connection to a big network. I don't need a connection to a big radio station. I don't need a connection to any major producer. I don't have to be supported by a major advertiser, see? I don't have to have a big fucking platform. I love the people at Podcast One, and I forevermore will be grateful to them. But fact is, we're all sort of on our own in this digital realm, and it's still developing. But that's cool, because, you know, I'm happy to keep on developing. And through it all, I don't need any of the larger entities that people would often say you do need. So what's happened is, we've often discussed on the show, you guys know this, you know, this is my party line. Art is not art until everybody has access to the tools. So if I have a paintbrush and I have a canvas and I have paints and everybody has access to that, which they do, that's art. What do we have here? I just got a message. Hold on. Okay, cool. It's not art when you have to go and petition the man, whoever that man is, like the guy that owns the TV and movie cameras. I want to do a movie.
Uh-huh.
Well, convince me that you're good at doing movies. Who the fuck is bad at doing movies? The fact of the matter is, everybody does. It's like everyone paints a painting. Everybody draws a drawing. Everybody sketches a sunrise or a sunset. Everyone draws a bowl of fruit. Is there something wrong with that? Well, it's not costing anybody anything. See, to me, that's the antithesis of art. If someone says, well, how much is it going to cost me to give you that paintbrush? Well, fuck you, man. I mean, what do you mean how much is it going to cost you? It shouldn't have to cost you or anybody anything. It should only cost me. It should only cost me. All right, well, then go out and buy your own goddamn movie camera. Well, that's the problem, man. They're too goddamned expensive. They're prohibitively priced. So we wind up giving the power to some studio, and they decide who the next artist is. For instance, who says that Oliver Stone or Michelangelo Antonioni or Bertolucci or Alfred Hitchcock or Sidney Lumet or Steven Spielberg or any of these people, who says those are the best filmmakers? Who? Some motherfucker that hired them. Well, did he go through every last person who makes movies? Did he interview every last person that is a potential? Did they really do their due diligence in determining who's the very possibly best person we can turn this camera over to? Well, you can't expect them to do that. No, I don't have to expect them to do that, but then they have no right to tell me that they hire the very best, because they don't fucking know what the very best is. They just turned around and gave their camera to the first motherfucker that, you know, impressed them. But today, that's no longer true. Today, anybody can have a camera, anybody can have a microphone, anybody can have access to those tools, like anybody could pick up a pencil and draw on a piece of fucking paper. You still only have one Picasso and one Rembrandt, as we're very fond of saying. You guys have heard me say that. Doesn't make any fucking difference if everyone gets a pen, a pencil, a piece of paper, some colors, and they're able. There's only one Rembrandt. There's paintings are worth, one fucking painting, man, is worth more than 10, 20 goddamn movies. And there wasn't anybody vetting that guy as to whether he got to have paints and a paintbrush and a canvas. No one said, well, let's see. He just went and bought that shit, sat down and painted something, and today, I don't know, maybe 100, 200 years later, maybe not, the goddamn thing is worth more than, well, I don't know. I mean, think about it. It's worth as much as at least one movie. Some of these fucking paintings, if a painting's worth $100 million, what is that? What's, maybe it's not, you know, some movies, of course, they're producing movies more and more money. Not, you know, ball clubs are worth more. I don't know. $100 million for a single art, that's like a contract, man. That's like a, well, that's a 10-year contract for some baseball players, let's say. It's pretty good, man. One fucking painting. So there's only one Rembrandt, one Picasso, one Da Vinci. There will only be one. And so it does not cheapen, it doesn't dilute the talent to say there's lots and lots and lots of the tools of the trade are everywhere, and that just means everybody can do it. That's not bad. In the world of film and radio and other areas of expression, it was bad until now. So when this happened, the world of digital, and we were making money at it, I said, well, what the fuck are we doing in radio? Why? Well, you know, you can make a lot of money. I can't make any money in the world of radio right now because the world of radio right now isn't even close to what the fuck it is I want to do. They're doing nothing but political talk. It's all basically conservative political talk. You know? By the way, I just read a piece on Alan Combs. Alan Combs just passed on, God rest his soul. Alan was a talk show host. He was a political commentator. He was a liberal, as far as it goes. And by that, I mean he was a liberal. I think he was a liberal in the moderate sense. He was on Fox News. He was a liberal that Fox News thought was valuable to have because they could say they had a liberal. I'm not putting that down. Alan grabbed a hold of the brass ring. Some people have written reviews calling him a sellout. I mean, really, after the guy, just not days after the guy dies, they're saying this guy is a cheap sellout and this kind of thing. I wouldn't, you know, if somebody gave me the opportunity to say what I wanted to say, I don't give a fuck where it was, and they wanted to pay me for it, you're goddamn right I'd take the money. I'd take the money and run in a second. So I don't think anything's wrong with Alan Combs. The only thing I would say is I hope that he didn't mute himself or he didn't hold back because he didn't want to piss off Sean Hannity or Fox and lose his gig. Let me put it another way, because we all hold back when our jobs are on the line. But I'm saying I hope he didn't hold back because he was afraid it was going to ruffle the feathers, I don't know, dent the scenery, that kind of shit, you know. Maybe it doesn't mean your job, but it means how people view you down the line. Because what's the point then? Because you're no longer speaking honestly. Anyway, I thought that was wrong, and I'm sorry to hear of his passing. I don't know, what did he have? He had some form of cancer or something. It was 66, 67. I'm 64 now. These cats that are dying at 66, the fuck? To me, it doesn't. See, when I hear that, I think, well, that ain't right. Maybe 70-something, 80. I'm 64. I feel fine. You know, dudes die. People die at all ages, and people die unexpected deaths at all ages. Many of them are accidents, yes, but some are simply medical maladies or some physical collapse of some kind. People in their 30s will die of cancer. People in their 40s, but only with the advance of old age do you die just suddenly, you know. And I'm not talking about an automobile accident. Only in your advancing years do you suddenly just, you know, bottom falls out. Heart attacks begin in the 40s. And we know a heart attack. And in the 50s and 60s. Young people die deaths that are long developing. You know, the ailment is long in developing, and the rarely do you hear of a person in their 30s collapsing of a heart attack, although it does happen. My friend Jerry Peterson, the first guy to ever hire me, program director at WBJW, Winter Park, Florida. Jerry was well thought of in radio circles in Florida back in the 70s, worked for Roundsville Radio. He hired me, and then he got kicked upstairs, and then he decided, I'm getting out of programming, I'm getting out of the programming side of things. He became a salesman, and then he became a general manager, and he became a very successful general manager. General manager means you've got to be a salesman, man. You're out and you're humping advertising. It's very rare to have a cat come from programming into sales. It's more likely that a salesman is going to become a general manager. That's why the problems between programming and general managers are legendary, because you're generally talking to some fuck, excuse my French, who is a salesman. He doesn't know a goddamn thing about what you do. He may tell you, but he doesn't. Let me tell you, he thinks he knows all about talent. To him, talent are just a bunch of guys that, you know, roam the countryside with U-Haul trailers. But every now and again, Randy Michaels was a guy that came from programming and went into management. Jerry was another one. Jerry was the first. Jerry died of a heart attack at 39. 39, man. That was a shocker. You know, people were very upset. But basically, the only cats I ever met in radio that died young were abusing drugs. Seriously, I mean, they were drug abusers, or they had alcohol and drug problems. I mean, a lot of motherfuckers. As much as in music, if not more. I didn't, because I was not and am not a drug abuser. I don't have an addiction problem. Thank God. Thank you, God, because that's out of your hands, man. And the sooner you recognize you have it, and the sooner you say, I do have it and I have to do something about it, the better your life can be. But some people go for years fighting that. No, that can't be me. It's got to be something else. You know. All right. Well, that's it for our pre-show today, and I hope I don't want to re-explain things, so just go back and listen to it again, and you can get the information. I'll see you guys again tomorrow, full show, full new live show, or full new show with a pre-show, and also I'll give you an update on what's happening with the website. The beta version is out. We're going to be testing it. I'm going to try and contact my BSPs who volunteered to test the site. We love it. I've got to finish up doing some actors studio character backgrounds that we're going to be including with our 10 top characters. I hope you like it. And we'll rock and roll. And when it is actually live and online, I can't tell you, but we'll find out. All right. Enjoy the show, guys.